Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. It is Wednesday, April 9th, I'm pretty sure. I am tired, and today there are no quilt diaries. I am just podcasting straight off. We'll get back to quilt diaries when I get back to quilting. Right now, the only thing I've really been doing is I'm sewing hexagons together for my sampler quilt and practicing my Y seams, and I am getting better. But really, every day, this has been so weird. This is supposed to be my Sabbath year because I'm 49, not for much longer, but I still am 49 right now. And up until the last couple months, I was being very Sabbathy and very chilled out. And then I decided to do these writing workshops, which have been successful. I'm still learning what I'm doing, but the kids have been great and I've gotten good feedback. So I've done two. I'm going to do a third one, not this Saturday, but next Saturday with my first group. We're doing a follow-up workshop, which I'm excited about because they were a great group. And now I'm thinking, I don't know, I'm going back and forth about doing one in May. I did a school visit yesterday. I went to Fayetteville, North Carolina. First, I went to Hope Mills, which is right outside Fayetteville. Oh, my goodness, these kids. So I talked to two sixth grade groups at the first school in Hope Mills. Their teacher was this young man. He looked 20. I know he wasn't. He's probably in his late 20s. His name was Mr. Artis, Marlo Artis. And he went to Carolina and he mentioned something. I think he started college when he was 17. But anyway, so we're out here in this rural part of the state. These kids are amazing. I went to talk about my book, Devi Co. They asked me questions I had never been asked. This book was published 14 years ago. I have answered a lot of questions about Devi Co. And they were coming up with stuff that was amazing. And they were so well prepared. And Mr. Artis had done fundraisers so each kid could have a copy of the book, which I just think is amazing. I get so upset. North Carolina right now just feels like a very anti-teacher state. And I realize when I go to school visits, I'm going to visit schools where the teachers and the librarians, the media specialists, care enough and have their act together enough to be able to pull together school visits. So I am seeing really good teachers and really good media specialists. I don't think there's a bad media specialist. I love librarians. But I realize, so I am seeing the cream of the crop. But nonetheless, you go into these schools and you meet a lot of teachers and they're great and they really care about their students and they're really up against it. They don't get paid much. There's, you know, so many kids come from dysfunctional homes, especially in these poorer areas. And these teachers, they work very, very hard, and we are really mistreating them. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, I should start some sort of campaign. Writers for teachers. But, you know, my only problem is my kids are in private school. So I think I can't lead the charge because people are like, well, if you think teachers are so great, why are your kids in private school? I'm like, well, ask my conservative husband. No, that's a whole different ball of wax. And I'm glad my kids are at Durham Academy. It's a great school, and it's a good school for them. I'm always a little divided about that. Anyway, it was a great day. In the afternoon, I went to another middle school, this one in Fayetteville, and it was also a wonderful school, and the kids were great, and especially the second group. When you do school visits, it's so helpful if the kids have actually read the books, at least one of your books, and they're so invested, and they're so excited to meet you, and if they haven't read your books, they don't actually care that much, except for the ones who are super big readers and really interested in writing. And, you know, I don't think I've ever been to school where no one's ever read a single word I wrote. But when you have everybody excited, and I'm learning about this, this is the thing. So, you know, back to my lack of Sabbathy time, I feel like I'm learning a lot. I'm all of a sudden doing a lot of school visits, and I'm really trying to think about what's the best thing to do, what's the best way to connect. I mean, you know, and given that some schools you'll go to are going to be really well prepared and others won't. And it's something I'm thinking a lot about. But last week I was in Missouri and for the Truman State University Children's Literature Festival.
So Truman State is in a place called Kirksville, which is truly in the middle of nowhere, but I thought it was a very beautiful nowhere. And it was a great time because a lot of times when you as an author, I'm sorry, I'm not talking about quilting. If you were hoping to listen to a quilting podcast, again, I recommend, Lazy Daisy or Quilting for the Rest of Us, Have to Be Square, Crafting Carbon. There's so many really good quilting podcasts out there where people actually talk about quilting, and I highly recommend all of them. This is like the quilting podcast where we do not talk about quilting, but maybe you're just quilting and you like this having the sound of somebody's voice in the background while you quilt. This is the podcast for you. Anyway, so back to other things, my ramblings. When you do festivals and conferences, a lot of time as an author, for me, they're often quite lonely because you are traveling by yourself. And you'll see this, I did the Southern Book Festival in the fall in Nashville, and you'll see like all these great authors are there. And you'll even see on those authors you kind of know. They may not be your best friends, but you know them, you've connected before. But the likelihood that you will see them, because everyone's on their own schedule, the Southern Festival of Books is, I don't know that it's always in Nashville, maybe it is, but it was kind of all over the place. And I did run into my friend, like the young adult author, Sarah Dessen. We actually flew back on the same plane, and that's when I saw Winona Judd at the airport. Sometimes that happens, but a lot of times it doesn't. And there are dinners, there's this, there's that. Now, fortunately, in Nashville, one of my best friends lives in Nashville, two of them actually. So, although my friend Nancy was not there, but so I really just hung out with my friend Kate when I wasn't doing stuff. But nonetheless, you're just kind of in your own little world, going to your sessions and what have you. And, so what was different at this festival? There were 11 writers. There's like children, all children's writers, some nonfiction, fiction, children's, picture books, novels. Amy Timberlake, who just won a Newbery Honor for her book One Came Home, was there. Delightful. Everyone was delightful. Linda Urban, whose books I've really liked, and is now I'm referring to her as my new best friend, because we flew from Missouri to Atlanta together. And we really hit it off just from the beginning. But so we got picked up at the Kansas City airport in a van and had to ride 3 hours, but it was so fun. And everybody was really nice. And Ken Nesbitt, who's the children's poet laureate, was there, and Linda and Amy. And Sarah Pennypacker, who writes the Clementine books, was not on the bus, but she was part of things, and she was lovely. Everyone was so nice, and we just talked and talked and talked. And then Friday, we went over to the university, and busloads of kids are trucked in. They're coming from all these schools all over this part of Missouri. Some came from a couple hours away, and it's like K through six, I think. Maybe not K, but anyway, and each author had four sessions, and my sessions were all with sixth graders, and they were delightful. They were supposed to have read the books, they didn't, or one book, and they didn't. But that's okay, because I talked about story building, and so my talk was not predicated on them having read a book, and the sessions were good, and the kids were nice. But the best part was hanging out with these writers, and I really felt like I made friends, and in fact, we've been in touch since, and that was neat. But so going to Missouri and then coming back and 2 days later doing a school visit, I just had to drive an hour and a half to get to Fayetteville. It's not that far, but you know what? I am like tired down to my bones, tired down to my bones. So with this traveling and the school visits and then planning for these writing workshops, it's just crazy. And now you want to add on to craziness, Jack is taking driver's ed, which I have nothing to do with. And fortunately, thank goodness, so he's at Durham Academy and they don't do driver's ed, but you can, but it's hard to explain. But anyway, they sort of set up a driver's ed class for the kids. And it's over at a school that's very close to us called Trinity. And that's where the private school kids go to have their driver's ed. And so fortunately, one of the moms who also has a kid who's doing this, organized about six of us to carpool, so I will not have to pick up Jack every day from school and take him to driver's ed and then come home and go get him at six. But that's just another thing, you know, that makes life seem strange, and I don't want Jack to drive. I don't want either of my children to drive. I keep hearing that fewer people are driving, especially the young folks, and I'm thinking, excellent, maybe my kids will just bike, which is probably more dangerous than driving, but no. Anyway, that's where we're going. Jack's going to be 15 at the end of the month. Whew. So, yes, lots going on. Just not a lot of quilting, although I am so excited to tell you, my mother, my sweet mother, who is doing well, I'm happy to report, getting out and about. She is just chomping at the bit. This woman is ready to drive, but she's not allowed to because of the stroke until May. So I think my dad is being very kind and driving her around, but she has subscribed to me to Love of Quilting, America's favorite quilting magazine, which is not a magazine I've always picked up, and I think I've talked about, I really enjoy quilting magazines with a lot of articles, so I love Quilter's Newsletter, but I have to say, I like this very much, and, you know, going through it, by the way, I also got the latest, is it Quilting Arts magazine, the one that's got about doing portrait quilts. And I'm excited. See, that's the thing. And when I got my first issue, you can hear me flipping through the pages of Love of Quilting. And by the way, they actually have some nice articles. You know, there's one, and I guess these are running columns. Like one is this old quilt, and it's called The Color White. And it's just not two-toned quilts, but, you know, they're talking about red and white quilts and navy and white and really pretty. And I want to do more. All I want to do is red and white quilts. Sometimes I feel that I should just invest in red and white fabric, although if I invest in red fabric, I need to write down what kind it is, and somebody, I have to go back to my website, or my blog, on WordPress, because somebody actually left a really good comment about how she keeps track of her fabrics, and but I just should just decide, I like the Chinese red, the Kaufman Chinese red, or whatever it is. And that's the only red I'm ever getting. And then I'll just only do red and white quilts, and I'll get a lot of stuff done. Ha, 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 ha. I actually want to make a quilt. My friend Nancy, I mentioned her before. She was my best friend in grad school. In some way, she's kind of responsible for my publishing career, and that she introduced me to a children's book editor she had met when she was up in Provincetown, Massachusetts. And this was the editor who actually got me in touch with Caitlin, who's my current editor. Anyway, so Nancy is a fiction writer. She's a novelist. Her name is Nancy Reisman. And her mother just died. So this is very sad. And her father only died a couple years ago. You know, and they're in their... Her mom was in her mid-70s. And her dad was a little bit older. But very sad. And I would like to make Nancy a quilt. So I'm thinking about that. You know, I have not... Well, I'm not done. I mean, it's April. And I'm still piecing together. I'm not piecing together the blocks. I'm sewing together my mosaic quilt. And I am, you know, doing little bits and things and thinking about doing a shoe quilt for Will. Oh, my goodness. At the school I went to, Southview Middle, yesterday, there are all these kids, these boys, these shoes, these tennis shoes. They're not tennis shoes. They're works of art. Will, you know, I talked about the pair that Will got. He wants to get more. This child just... He just, you know, saves up his money. And so he's got like $500 because he hasn't really spent any money on anything. Because all he ever, like, he'll get, every once in a while, he'll get very into buying baseball cards off of eBay. You know, so he'll spend like $15 over the summer on baseball cards from eBay. But that's it. So he's got all this money stashed away. And the man and I are kind of trying to figure out, it's like, if your kid has $500, and all he wants to do is buy tennis shoes, like really beautiful, but you know, the fairly overpriced tennis shoes. I don't even, you know, do you let him? Is it his money? And I've actually been talking to Will about, you know, you've got all that great money, you've done a great job saving it, and maybe you should give some away. And you know, he's very, you know, we're talking about sort of a tithing deal, like 10%. Of, you know, of every $100, you know, $10. And you know, he was into that idea. He's a nice kid. But, yes. So, when I was at this middle school yesterday, there were several boys that had these LeBrons. LeBron James designs his own shoes, and they're gorgeous, believe me. The colors are amazing, amazing. In fact, I took pictures of kids' shoes yesterday because they were so gorgeous, and because I knew Will would like to see them. Anyway, yes, but I do want to do a shoe quilt. That's my next applique quilt. But I do think I would like to make Nancy quilts. But I feel like every podcast episode, that's all I do is like, yeah, I would like to do this and I want to do this and I'm not doing it, but I am working really hard. It feels weird to me. I feel like a real working person as opposed to someone who just sits around for 3 hours every morning and makes stuff up, right? I'm actually working. Like I need a house cleaner because I really don't have time. Although I'm trying to do spring cleaning this week and next week because it's just disgusting around here. So anyway, so I had some idea. I was going to sit here and go through the new Fonz and Porter, but you know, I'm too tired to do that. But I'm excited to have it. And it was interesting how... So I got it last week, and I took it with me to Will's baseball game. Little League has started again. Will's played 2 games. His team has won both games. The first one was just like a routing. The second one was last Saturday, and I was just coming. I was not here, but it was a more even game. It was sort of like 7-5, and Will's team actually came back at the end. So that's good. That's the kind of baseball I like. I don't need big shutouts and 20-0 games. Those just seem ridiculous to me. So I'm excited that Will's team is good, you know, because it's a drag when, you know, if they're just terrible and they're not going to ever win, but that there will be good games. I will say there's a really pretty applique quilt. It's an intermediate in this Fonz and Porter. And I'm talking about the, by the way, this is the March-April 2014 edition. And it's called Meadow Lily. It's by Kim Deal, and it's a fast and easy machine applique technique. So it's an applique quilt. It's very old-fashioned looking. It's got flowers, and the fabrics that she uses are... let me see. She actually gives a recommendation. But they're sort of dark prints and tan prints. So they're kind of old-fashioned looking, although I can't assign them... a particular, like, oh yes, these are 1930s type. They're not really. I'm not seeing here where if she suggests or if she says I use these particular fabrics. Maybe at some point. In the back, I don't know if they do that. But anyway, it's really pretty, and I would like to practice my applique. I like old-fashioned looking quilts. Although, you know, one thing I feel like this issue, I will say, if you're like, what magazine should I pick up? I don't love every quilt, but I do like a lot of the quilts I'm seeing, and I do, and there's a tote that I really like, which I could see making. That was one of the things, too, before, so it's called Modern Tote. It's by Nicole Maroon, and it's very cute, and I like the quilting on it, and I could use a tote. I bought a new bag, purse, for this trip to Missouri, because I my last big bag was just a big black purse. I mean, you know, nice looking, and it was great for carrying lots of stuff. And the handle broke, and I think I can fix it or have it fixed, but I just haven't. So I got a new one that I like and was good. But anyway, but I really could have used a tote. And so I'm going to add to my dream list. We should have, like, some place where you can do, like, Amazon, where you have your wish list. So we have the quilter's wish list, where you just have a wish list of all these projects you want to do. And will you do them? I don't know. So there's another one here called Pain by Pain by Tony Jacobson. Using simple squares and rectangles, Tony Jacobson came up with the design to showcase this forest fabric. And the fabric is really cool. Oh, and this actually has material notes. Fabrics in the quilt shown are from the Marblehead Northern Woods collection by Roe Gregg for Fabric Quilt, Inc. And there are these panels, and it looks like black and white photographs of trees in winter, essentially. And what it really looks, yeah, it does look like window panes. And it's really cool. I like it. Again, I'm not sure this is one that I would make, but I'm not saying I wouldn't make it. It does look, it's an intermediate quilt. It looks fairly simple, though. I don't think I've actually moved on to advanced quilt making. In fact, let's look. So there's lots of intermediates. Do they do advanced quilts in here? You've got easy. We've got, now here's, now this is the Kim Deal one that I liked, and that's an intermediate. So do magazines actually print? Here's really, oh, here it is. Yes, they do. It's called challenging. They don't call it advanced. It's called challenging glorified medallion. Whether you make templates to cut the pieces for this quilt the traditional way or speed up the process by using the glorified 9-patch template set, you'll love stitching this classic pattern. And it is. It's a nice quilt. I like it. It's by Toby Lischko, and Toby is a woman. Oh, she's the author of St. Louis Stars, published. An author, St. Louis Stars, but it's not italicized. Published by Kansas Star Quilts. Well, I was just in Kansas City, of course, Kansas City. So I'm all excited about all things Kansas, because now I am one with Kansas. Anyway, so yes, but this was fun to look through. Oh, and there's one that's very cute and it's very modern, and that's what I like about this magazine, about this particular issue. And I'm assuming. You just assume kind of Mary Fonds is having some kind of impact. But there's a quilt, Fruit Bowl Bullseye. It's an intermediate quilt, and it says mix a log cabin block and a snowball block, and you get a bullseye block. Sew the seams on a slight angle for a wonderful wonky effect. Easy strip set segments, bisect the alternate block, and connect the bullseyes. It's really cute. And the fabrics used are from the Fruit Slice collection by Christian A. Howe for Anthology Fabrics. And I like them a lot. It's really, yeah, this is a cute quilt. I could see doing this. I think, again, I'm practicing frugality, and yes, I have still yet to enter a Target this year. And it is showing in my credit card bills. My spending is way down. I'm also, of course, using the interlibrary loan, which rocks. And if you guys aren't doing this and you feel like I spend too much money on books, interlibrary loan, it is so cool. And to me, one of the coolest things is I get these books that last year I would have bought used. And you think, oh, it's just $4.99 plus $3.99 shipping, or 99 cents plus $3.99, and you get them, but it adds up. And it really adds up if you get the book and you don't actually like it. It's not a good book. There's books that look like they would be great and they're not. I would much prefer to get ungreat books via interlibrary loan for free. And I've had several books where I've gotten them and looked at them and read the first couple chapters and like, this is not a good book. I am so glad I didn't buy it. So I'm doing my impulse buys via interlibrary loan, and I highly recommend it. How did I get on that? I don't know. Oh, but I'll tell you something else. I have no idea. My brain is too fried. I'm not even going to try to track back. Usually I do, and I almost make it. But yeah, although now I'm kind of curious. Where was I going? I do not know. But I don't even remember where I was going with that. Fried brain. Fried brain. Oh, I know. I know. One thing. I get, my Amazon email today is Francis Dow. Here's look at the new quilting books for spring. I'm like, no, I'm not looking, but I did look. Oh, there's some good ones. But they're new. And so the other thing that I this is so exciting is I'm also my library is doing a great job. I think I may have mentioned this last time about how I requested they buy a couple books and they put them on order almost immediately. In fact, I have them now. One is called Pastrix by Nadia Bolz Weber. Very interesting. She is a Lutheran pastor. Now I go to Lutheran church, which I'm really enjoying. It's not that different from the Episcopal Church, as far as I can tell. Very liturgical. And she's interesting though, because she's Orthodox, lowercase o, in her beliefs. And although there's certain things, I think on more social issues, she's quite liberal, and she's very tattooed and pierced. But she's really cool. And I mean, and she's really, she is a true believer. And she grew up in a fundamentalist home. Although her parents, I shouldn't say although, and her parents were very loving. And they are very supportive of her, and they're very supportive of her becoming a Lutheran minister. And So it's really cool that she rejected her early churching. By the time she was 15, she's like, this is not for me. I just don't believe this is, I don't think she didn't believe Christianity was true, but she certainly did not believe in her home church's take on things. But I don't think she ever stopped believing in God, but she did manage to become a raging alcoholic, etc. But of course got clean and sober, and now is a minister. And the book is called Pastrix, which is just a term for a female pastor. And it's wonderful. And then I also got, there's a great poet. I don't know if you read poetry, but you might, if you don't, if you're not drawn to it, his name is Kevin Young. He is a few years younger than I am. I think he's in his mid-40s. He's very prolific. He's probably one of the most prolific poets writing well today. He was on Fresh Air with Terry Gross a few weeks back. And he's quite wonderful, and I really like his poems. Anyway, he has a new book out, and that's very good too, which might be called The Hours, I think it is. So, speaking of books, I finally got Lost Lake. I just picked it up a couple days ago, so I haven't read it, but I'm excited about that. I am almost done with My Life in Middlemarch. I am trying to read Middlemarch by George Eliot, and this book by Rebecca Mead is about her experience. She loves, it's one of her favorite books, and she's read it over and over. In a lot of ways, it's a biography of George Eliot, who was a very interesting woman. And I've read about 100 pages of Middlemarch, and it's a difficult book. The actual, when you get into the actual narrative, it's quite interesting. And she clearly has is very insightful about human nature, which I don't think changes very much, even though this book was written, set in the early 1800s. It's like Jane Austen, Jane knew. But there's quite a bit of, I don't know, authorial commentary, narrator commentary that to me, it's like there could have been less of that. So I know so many people love this book, and I really intend to read all of it. And I did, I got it on my Kindle, not my Kindle, my iPad via Kindle. With the idea, one of the things, my paperback, the print is tiny. So on the iPad, I can actually read it. I can actually see the words. So that's exciting. But I feel like I finished a couple other things recently. And now I'm trying to remember what they were. So they'll come to me later. But so reading really a lot. This has been a very good reading spring, as well as a very big working spring. But I would like, really, really like it to also be a quilting spring. And looking at this, see, here's like, and what is this? This is nice. Now, this is an easy quilt, and it's by Marianne Fons, and it's called Go Big. And it's just it's a star quilt, and it's nice. So there are a lot of nice quilts. So I really enjoyed this. And, oh, I know, I think I was saying that I took it with me to Will's baseball game. And I was just leafing through it and just being like, oh, I really want a quilt. So who knows? Who knows? So I don't even really have pictures to show you this week. I just want to be in touch with you and say, hello, I'm still enjoying my quilt made for me by the Twilters. I was so happy the other day. I got an email, and it was a poll that one of the Twilters, maybe Carol, put together about a possible Twilter retreat. Now, I am in this place where I supposedly gave up the internet for Lent. I'm trying to be better about marketing myself as an author. And the Phineas book, by the way, that's coming out in Cheerios, Phineas L. McGuire, Gets Cooking, its official launch date is the 15th now of this month. So next week, I think that might be next Tuesday. But apparently it's in some Targets already. So, and Simon & Schuster, my publisher, is very, they're kind of, and Cheerios are very, they're like, you need to use all your platforms. And, I actually tweet on two different accounts. One's Frances Dow, and the other is Fran from NC. And some of my Twilter friends follow me on both, which is so sweet. I actually have finally, the man gave me this idea. Now I have my Frances Dow account over on, what's it called? Not my Foxfire, but the other thing with the little, I don't know. Oh my goodness. Oh, it looks like a little steering thingy from a ship. What is that called?
I just keep thinking it's called Satellite. It's not. But anyway, on a different thingy. Not Foxfire, but the different thingy. That's where, so that's where I tweet as my author self, as my bad author self. And then my Twitter account, Fran from NC, is over on my Foxfire. So that makes things very easy. But and it's taken me years to figure out. And it's not, I am so not ready for social media. So if you've been seeing tweets from me, that's why. If you're following me on both accounts. But anyway, and I'm also like, I've not been doing Facebook, which I have not missed, to be honest. And, you know, and during Lent on Sunday, Sunday's always a feast day, even during Lent. So you can, whatever you're giving up for Lent, you can take it up on, again on Sunday. And, you know, and I found this even last Sunday where I sat down like, all right, I'm gonna check out Facebook. And you just get caught up. You know, I follow these links to these silly places, you know, like 10 reasons happy people are a happy kind of place, you know. And sometimes, and then I'm just like, wow, I just wasted so much time doing this. And it's not that it's not entertaining, but I don't think I need to amuse myself to death all the time. And that's what Facebook comes now, you know. At the same time, that's how I found out that my friend Cheryl, who lives the next street over, whose husband died a couple years ago, her dad just died, and I wouldn't have known that if I had not checked my Facebook, you know, Facebook. So I will, and I have another friend whose son, college-age son, has bone cancer. Now, fortunately, his surgery was successful, and they're not going to have to amputate his leg. But now he's going through very serious chemo and radiation. You know, and so there are things on Facebook, you know, that are good to keep up with. You know, you do get some news that way. But in general, I have not missed it. And, you know, and I can see now with Twitter, because I really have since I got back from Missouri. That was another thing, is like talking to all these authors, and everyone, you know, it's like everyone is a member of the Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, which I've never done. I'm like, all right, I'm going to join this. I'm going to try to do some marketing because I've got all these books out there, and, you know, and my publisher does not do very much marketing at all. They don't have a budget for it. So not Simon Schuster, but Athenaeum, you know, and because I think my books tend to sell well, just on the virtue that people know me and like my books, and I think librarians tend to like me and what have you, you know, and so they do a good job of selling, and they get enough star reviews that they sell to librarians. And that's probably, you know, where a lot of authors, especially children's book authors, who are not like, you know, J.K. Rowling or whatever, or Rick Riordan, that's, you know, we're very dependent on those sales. But anyway, so there's not a lot of marketing, and I'm just like, you know, and I feel like I have some books that kind of, if kids knew they were there and teachers knew they were there, would get, you know, some good attention and would get bought. But now, so I'm going to actually make myself try to create the buzz, which I'm really terrible at. But I'm trying, and that was a good thing about kind of connecting with these other authors too, a couple of whom do like 60 school visits a year, which is just, I mean, and they travel all over. Like Ken Nesbitt, the children's poet laureate, cool guy. If you, you know, if you have kids who are in elementary school and the PTA is looking for someone to bring to their school, I would recommend him. I watched him. I went to one of his sessions when I had a free session in Missouri, and he was fantastic. And what was great is the boys loved him. The girls did too, but the boys were really into him. And, you know, it was funny. We had an interesting conversation. So Sarah Pennypacker, who's this wonderful writer, gave the keynote speech at the dinner, at the banquet on Friday night. And she gave a beautiful talk about the importance of stories and how, you know, Jung said, when people are not allowed to tell their stories, you know, there's that, you know, more evil is created in the world. And she was talking about how, you know, children find their tribes through books and various things. And it was beautiful, and it was very serious, and you know, just, it was perfect. But I think it, but Ken is this kind of, he does poetry, and it's very funny, and some of it, he gets a little scatological, and we were giving him a hard time for that. And, you know, just, and what he said later, we were talking with Sarah about her speech and how much we loved it. He said, you know, I do not write serious things,
but I think I do serious work because there are kids in my audience, especially boys, who have never liked poetry, who had no idea that poetry could be fun, that they could get something out of poetry, who are going to give poetry more of a chance. And I think he's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So yeah, now I can't remember again. I'm off on a tangent. There's no going back. I don't even know how long I've been talking. I think it's time for me to stop talking. I will try to find some quilty picture. Please come over and comment and say hello and inspire me. Oh, and I wrote it down. I do. Where is it? I have to find it now because you know what? KDR, who wrote my great. Yes, I have it. I have a way to end. Because, you know, KDR, one of my Twitter friends, gave me this closing. And I've always been, and I never wrote it down, so I've never had it. But now I wrote it down, and I have it right by me. So I'm going to finish up. I hope I'll be back next week to say, look at all the quilty stuff I've done. Maybe I will have appliqued a shoe, finished piecing, not piecing, but putting together the mosaic quilt. I really hope so. I don't have anything to do this weekend, which is so exciting. I don't think Will has a baseball game. So, yeah. Now I will be digging because it's almost our frost date is the 15th, our last frost date, and it's time to plant. We've had, you know, I don't complain about the weather, and especially not now since everyone has had this long winter. But I think our winter's gone. Today's really gorgeous day, and tomorrow's going to be even gorgeouser. So I need to start digging my beds for my garden, which is something I thought I would have had done by now, but we just have, there's not been the opportunity. Not even just because I'm working so hard because of the weather, but now I think the weather has turned. Anyway, so that's another thing I have to do. But I have this dream that this weekend I'm going to do a lot of quilting. Will I? I don't know, but you'll find out, and I hope you'll find out next week. Yay! So, my dears, come say hello at the off kilter. What is it? What am I? The off kilter quilt. At WordPress.com. Also, can I ask you some favors? I hate doing this because you all have been so generous in so many ways, and so here I ask for more of your generosity. Could you, if you're on Facebook, like my author page, which is Frances O'Rourke Dow Author, and if you don't follow me on Twitter, if you could follow my author, or if you just follow me as Fran from NC, if you could follow me at Frances Dow, and also at Go Phineas, GoPhineE. I don't even know how to spell it. Phineas, Phine. How do you spell it? I don't know. NEAS, I think. Go Phineas. And that's it would be especially cool because the Cheerios people are, you know, they're on my back, man. They're bringing me down. No, they're not. But anyway, that would be really cool if you can do that. But if all you can do is think good thoughts, that is a whole lot. Or just leave me a comment at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. I would love to hear from you. And with that in mind, life is short, so quilt first. Bye. See you soon. Okay, I can't believe this since I finally got my log off, my farewell, my final words down. Oh, KDR, forgive me. I have a PS. Oh, my goodness. And I can't believe it. So today is Thursday, April 10th, I'm pretty sure. And I can't, yesterday I was so tired, as I was talking about, that I forgot a really important story about my trip to Missouri. And that is the story of quilter love, quilty love, let's call it. And what happened was the first night, sorry, I just had an email go out. The first night that I was in Missouri, somebody had a dinner for all the authors. Essentially, there is a committee of I don't know how many people from the university who selects the writers to come for the Children's Book Festival. And one of those committee members had a lovely dinner on Thursday night. And I was sitting at a table with a couple of writers, Catherine Hannigan, who wrote the wonderful Ida B, and Linda Urban, who wrote the wonderful Crooked Kind of Perfect.
and then was sitting with some people on the committee. Well, one of those was a woman named Donna. Oh my God. Gosh, guys, I'm interrupting myself. I just looked out the window and there's a hawk sitting on this low branch on this tree outside the window. It's a big bird. It's kind of scary looking. I'm keeping the dog inside. Okay, back to my story. So one of them was a woman named Donna, and we're chatting. She's very nice. She's a professor of, I can't remember if she's in the English department or education department, but obviously children's book person and funny and nice. But it comes up, and I don't know how, that she's a quilter. And then I'm like, oh, I'm a quilter. And she's like, oh, did you go to the Missouri Star Company on your way in? I mean, the Missouri Star Quilting Company. I'm like, no, did I pass it? And she said, well, it's in Chillicothe, and which is, or outside, it's very close to Chillicothe, which we stopped on the way back. Not that I was going to convince the bus driver and all these non-quilters on the bus to go with me to the Missouri Star Quilting Company, but I was right there. I couldn't believe it, but that's the whole thing. So anyway, of course, we're just gabbing on and on, and I tell her about the podcast, and I tell her this and that, and mention the mosaic block quilt and how, so many people sent me fabric for that and just how great quilters are, et cetera, et cetera. And she said, well, do you need more fabric for that? And I said, no, I've pieced the blocks and I'm putting the quilt together now. And we're talking about more about fabric, and I said how much I like batiks, and sometimes I think that I could just quilt with batiks for the rest of my life and be happy. So batiks and red and white fabric. I am that kind of person. I could just say that. That's how I'm going to be for the rest of my life. And I would love having it so simplified. yeah, I can go with that. Any event, the next day, who shows up but Donna with a lovely bag of fabric, mostly batiks. Isn't that just so quilting? And she said, oh, you have to meet Wanda. And I met Wanda, also quilter. So we're all standing around with our iPhones and our iPads and look at the pictures of my quilts. And we were so, and Donna kind of was, just, she was so fabulous. And of course, later after we had four sessions with the kids. It was the event went from 9 to 2:30 or so. And then at 3, we had an autographing session with some of the kids. And we were in this room with tables, and I sat down, and Donna came over. She's like, do you need anything? I was like, what, is there coffee? And she said, no, I think there's just water in here. She's like, I'll go downstairs and get you some coffee. And there was like this coffee Starbucky kind of place, and we were in the student center of the university. She went down, got me coffee, and got me, I just felt like, wow, quilters just are so cool. And so I wanted, and I also told her that I was going to mention her on my next podcast. And then I was thinking last night, oh my goodness, I forgot to tell the world, or the very small percentage of the quilting world that listens to this podcast, about the kindness of this quilter, of the kindness of so many quilters. And I just think that's, I talk about it all the time. It's like, what a wonderful community. I do. I actually sat down yesterday afternoon because I was feeling guilty because I actually started working. I thought, I'm going to work on trying to do an applique shoe for Will's shoe quilt. And I started to, but I look around, my house is such a mess and I've got so much going on. I thought, this just may not be the quiltiest part of my life. A, especially not the most. I'm so excited about doing more art quilts, as we've talked about, now that I am a professional art quilter. You think I'd make a few, but I'm thinking, one, I need to really look for classes, because that would be nice, to actually have guidance. And of course, there are online classes, which I've signed up for, my Craftsy classes. But I thought, I think right now what I need to do, first of all, I need to get cleaned up. And I did earlier this year. I did a great job of going through my scraps and dividing them, by color. And so now I've got all these great, sort of gallon or half gallon bags, storage, plastic bags, of fabric. And it's really, really nice. 'Cause like yesterday I thought, well, let me look for fabric for the shoe, which I, and I messed with it, but I just realized, man, well, yeah, I also was too tired yesterday. But I was like, I don't have the bandwidth to do something just innovative. As much as I want to do this stuff, as much as I'm excited about it, it's not where I am right now. I've just got so much going on in other regards. And I thought, you know what I want to do? I really want to make a quilt for my friend Nancy. And I have a fabric budget for this year. And I've not really, I just dipped into it a little bit. And actually, what I've dipped into is more for, I mean, I guess, to finish off the red and white quilt, to get the red. And then, but more, I think I bought some yarn for making socks. And I've got money budgeted for fabric, and I do want to make Nancy a fabric. And there's several, I think in the scrap basket, is that what it's called? That book with many, many patterns that I like. And I'm not so lazy. I am lazy. I've had a busy morning, and now it's afternoon. I'm like, ooh, and I had lunch. I treated myself and went to this great place we've got in Durham. It's kind of Mediterranean deli type place. And so I got a good lunch, and now I'm like, ooh, I'm a little nappy. Where's my book that I'm going to tell you? And I've talked about it many times. I'm looking in my big thing of books, and I'm like, where is it? Not layer cakes, although I love the layer cakes too. I'm looking at all my good books and my ones and I just got about portraits and photo inspired art quilts. And I'm oh, okay, here we go. Scrap Basket Sensations by Kim Brackett, and there are many patterns in there I like. And you know what I think I'm gonna do Saturday? I'm gonna do a couple. One, I'm like such a loser, because you know what I still haven't done? Taken the dang sewing machine in, which I was gonna do. I've done two workshops over in Chapel Hill, like the street over from Thimble Pleasures, and did not take my sewing machine over there. You know why? Because I just knew that after the workshop was done, I would want to go home. That'd be so tired. And I was. So I think Saturday, I am going to take my machine in. I'm also going to buy fabric for a quilt for Nancy. And I'm just going to work with the pattern, and then hopefully it will only take a week or two to get my machine back. And I can cut and play around, but also clean. As I was saying, I did some really good work with fabric and with my scraps and storing stuff. And now I just, it's like, and this is good. Because to clean the space, to make it ready, because right now I'm feeling kind of messy and unorganized. And then to cut fabric, to put a new blade on my rotary cutter, which needs it. I think it'll be really nice. I think that's what I need to do right now. I do need to put together the mosaic block quilt. I'm so close. And you know what? I also had another realization yesterday. I'm like, why haven't you done this? This would take you to get this all put together. Would take you a couple hours. You could do it in a Friday night. Why have you not done this? I think there are a couple reasons. One, it's a big quilt, and I think I look. I'm like. Because when I finish it, then I'm gonna have to quilt it. So I think I'm putting it off. Maybe I won't finish it. And if I don't finish it, I won't have to quilt it. See, why do I make resolutions? Why do I tell you guys, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that? You know what? I never do it, but I have the best intentions. Anyway, but I do think that's part of it. And also, in a weird way, it's like I got my beautiful quilty friend's quilt that's on my bed. I don't wanna take it off my bed. Not that it's like, if I finish the mosaic quilt, it's not going to take me 6 months to quilt it. I don't know. We will see. But anyway, so I think that's part of it. I do. I think I'm a little like, I am actually creating a monster by putting this quilt together. I am creating a monster. It's going to be big. It's going to be a big quilt top. So I do think there's some psychological stuff going on there. But anyway, but I do. I like the idea. It's like of having some fun. All right, and I don't have to do. Sometimes I do this to myself. I make things too hard sometimes. I just want to start. I don't want to have to make up my own ideas. I want to take a pattern, buy the fabric, make a beautiful quilt for my wonderful friend who's dealing with some serious loss in her life. That seems all good to me. So that is my decision. Now, I could come back next week or 3 weeks or whoever. Who knows when I will come back to talk to you again soon, I hope, because this is another thing. I was thinking, well, feeling like I'm not doing much, and I don't feel in some ways like I have earned my place to speak in this community. Which, and you guys know I'm rambly, that I spend about 10% of my podcasting time talking about quilting, and the rest is whatever. But I was thinking, but you guys are my friends. You know what you're getting into when you start one of my podcasts, and you know that you can turn it off. So anyway, so I think I'm going to keep podcasting. Even though I'm not doing a lot of quilting, but who knows? Maybe things will change. Things are going to be good. But yeah, I think I need a pattern. I need to buy some fabric. I need to have my fun of cutting out fabric while I'm watching, you know, whatever, The Good Wife, and getting caught up with that. Although now I know what happened this season because everybody knows. By the way, this is another funny thing. Now, I loved being, all these writers I was with. But man, all of them except for me and this very cool picture book writer. She does mostly like weird science kind of stuff. She was great. Her name was Kelly Hall. Anyway, everyone else is like, oh, I don't even have a TV, or we just got a TV, but I don't really watch TV. Me and Kelly, like, I watch Netflix all the time. And what it turned out, what these guys were saying, is basically they watch Netflix, and for some reason they don't think Netflix is TV. Like that doesn't count as TV. I'm like, DVDs count as TV, Netflix counts as TV, Amazon.com, it all counts as TV. I mean, you know, and Kelly's like a real HBO girl, which we don't have HBO, but I'm not again. I kind of wish we did, but you know, I just thought that was so fun. Whoa, we don't even have a TV. It's like, oh, but you have a computer and you watch lots of TV on your computer. But I love that, and I haven't done it in a while, so we're going to get back to that. I promise. But don't believe anything I say, because apparently I am really, well, if you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, that can just be one of our long running jokes. Oh, Frances said something and she's acting like she really means she's going to do it. Anyway. All right. Now I can't. Where is my thing from KDR that I know how to say to you now? I can't be with. No, that's not it. Where is it? I cannot be without my KDR. Ah, got it. All right, so I'm going to end again. I'm practicing my tagline, right? Is that a tagline? I think so. All right, the PS is over. We're ending again. Life is short, so quilt first. See you soon. Bye.